You are listening to WCJV Digital Broadcasting, Youngstown, New York.
The Paranormal News Insider from ParanewsInsider.com. Produced by WCJV Digital Broadcasting, Youngstown, New York.
Welcome to the Paranormal News Insider for the week of September 27th, 2016, and episode number 283. And this is your host, Dr. Brian D. Parsons. Wow, I was just looking at the calendar. I can't believe it's already the end of September. Well, I guess I can believe it because it's right there. But wow, fall is here. Not ready for it. But I guess I don't have a choice, right? Well, this week's news, we had some interesting stories happen at the end of last week, which pretty big story that we'll talk about here tonight. What else do we have? We have a little update on Wessie. Hope you haven't forgotten about the little Wessie snake. We also have Bigfoot hanging out in northern Michigan and cougars moving east. Yeah, we're going to talk some cougars tonight. I was going to do that on Facebook, but I figured somebody would get the wrong idea. Anyway, we'll also talk about that big story that I mentioned, paranormal star arrested. And speaking of stars, have our zodiac signs changed again? Yeah, that story's back. In case you weren't aware, that was something I covered a while ago. We'll talk about that later on in the show. And we'll also talk about what you don't know about the Staten Island Ferry disaster of November 22nd, 1963. Yes. Find out about that. We'll also have the book of the week. Hopefully you have some time for conferences and conventions and a whole lot more. Now, you know, I just talked about like five stories, and that's I'm on the air for an hour. And you may wonder, well, gosh, Brian, you have an hour. Why can't you talk like 20 or 30 stories? Just give a brief synopsis. Why do you only cover just a small handful of stories? Well, to me, it's about quality over quantity. There's a lot of other paranormal shows out there that talk about the news, and they'll just read a little headline or a sentence or two. They don't really offer too much behind it. But I do the research behind these stories to make sure that I'm giving you the facts and information behind them. And I like to put it this way. I'm here to chew bubblegum and tell the truth. And I'm all out of bubblegum. Now, if you get that reference, that's great. It's my buddy Rowdy Piper back from a movie called They Live, in case you weren't aware. But yeah, I like to give you the truth, dig into these stories, find the original sources, and bring you the true information, and not just the headline, and not just speculation, and not what people are commenting about on social media. This is the truth. I dig into these stories, and it's not fair to just kind of cover that in a couple of seconds. I do take some time with some of these stories, and I look at the big stories, stuff that's making an impact, or things that maybe are confusing to a lot of people, or stuff that is viral. So I do focus on these things, and I see those stories out there. I see all the stuff about the UFOs and people thinking that the sprites are UFOs hidden, and people are making that up, and I see all these crazy videos about ghosts and things. I see all that stuff. But a lot of it that I don't talk about, hopefully you understand I don't talk about it because it's pretty obvious that these things are fake or not what they seem to be. So that's a little explanation. I guess I got to rehash because I took a week off a couple weeks ago and I still feel like I'm starting over again. It feels weird. Anyway, this week's news is brought to you by Thomas Francis University. Thomas Francis University is a metaphysics school that offers online spiritually based bachelor's, master's, and PhD doctoral metaphysical degrees, as well as single standalone courses in related metaphysical and esoteric topics. Instructors are easily accessible and offer world-class customer service and instruction. TFU and other ICMH schools have hundreds of students and graduates in more than 50 countries worldwide. For more information on Thomas Francis University, please visit tfuuniversity.org. And what do we have? Well, what am I involved in? In case you're wondering, who am I? Well, I'm involved in a couple of events coming up this year. And like I said, I was looking at the calendar, September 27th, exactly 1 month from tonight, I will be at the Westerville Public Library doing a ghost presentation for the 8th consecutive year at the Westerville Public Library. That's on a Thursday night. I'll be here on the show that week. I believe that's the 25th. So, 2 days prior, I'll be here on the show talking about that event and then probably have a little bit of an update, a wrap up, rather, the next week, which will be the day after Halloween. Ooh, got to think of something to do here. I haven't really put much thought into a Halloween show, but I don't know. You guys going to be Halloweened out after that? I don't know. Well, we'll see. I'll think about that. So Westerville is northeast of Columbus, Ohio, the state capital. And always excited to go down there. I did a cryptid presentation earlier this year down there at Westerville Public Library. And it's the only library pretty much in the world that I know of that has my books in it. And I go to visit them every time I go down there and hope that they're not actually there. I kind of hope that they're out experiencing life and in somebody's house or car or whatever and being read. It's kind of a bittersweet thing when I see them. I'm excited to say hello and to hold them up and take a picture or selfie with the books. But at the same time, I kind of wish they were out and about. I know that sounds weird. And also November, even a week or two after that. Yeah, it's the following week. I'll be at the Ghost Excavation Conference, the third Ghost Excavation Conference. That'll be in Bedford, Pennsylvania. And that'll be hosted by John Sable, the Ghost Excavator. And I was thinking about this. I was reading, always have like four or five books that I'm reading. I have not yet done one of John Sable's books for the book of the week. So coming up, I got to get one on here just so you guys know who this John Sable guy is and what Ghost Excavation is all about and how that ties into my methodology, the E4 method, which is what I'll be talking about at this conference. And this conference is going to have a lot of interesting people, interesting minds that are looking at things, I should say, looking at ghost investigation from a different angle, not just about subjective tools and technology, but methodology. How do we put ourselves socially into these situations? How do we put ourselves, anthropologically in these kind of events to draw out stuff? How do we connect with history? How do we connect with what's going on in these locations? And that's what all these people are exploring a lot of different angles here. Brandon Masullo will be there. I've mentioned him before, a great mind. He's got an awesome background in parapsychology. And we worked together on the Ohio Paranormal Investigation Network, which I led for 11 years. He's going to be there talking about his unique method, essentially called The Ingredients for a Ghostly Experience, is what his presentation is about. Jonathan Williams, very brilliant. I don't know if he's young. If he's younger than me, I guess I could call him a young man. He might be older than me. I don't know. I don't think so. He has an extensive law enforcement and forensics background. He's always a great presenter. And also, Patty Wilson will also be presenting that weekend as well. And you can find more information about that at Third Ghost Excavation Conference .webs.com. It's going to be a fun time. And in case you forgot about this one, last week I mentioned the Pennsylvania Bigfoot Camping Adventure. Tickets went on sale Monday, September 19th. Get them quick. The campground has not opened up. It's scheduled, so I haven't been able to get my campsite yet, but I'm waiting for that. Pretty cheap. You can stay in a cabin. You can stay in a motel or hotel, whatever you want. That's fine. I'm not going to make fun of you too much. But May 5th through the 7th, 2017. Gosh, it's so weird to say. Farmington, Pennsylvania. It was a fantastic time. Despite the rain, the cold, not really knowing how many people were actually going to be there. a lot of things happen your first time putting on an event, but I think Eric Altman did one heck of a job. And I'm really looking forward to next year. Steve Coles, Stan Gordon, myself will also be returning to speak at that event. Jay Baterton, who was in attendance at the conference, he will be speaking next year. Host Eric Altman will also be speaking. And there's a few others that's going to be rumored to be at the event. And Trapper John Tice from Mountain Monsters will also be back. Looking forward to that. There are a couple of other events next year that I'm not going to bore you with. And we're going to jump right into cryptid news, some really weird cryptid news. This week, last week, however you want to look at it, kind of split my week between after the show. I kind of take a little bit of a break on Wednesdays, but kind of keep an eye and an ear out for the news. And been really looking at this Wessie situation. I'm really hoping that Wessie shows up, makes a final appearance before winter. That would be great. Really put a great cap on it. But then part of me says, I kind of hope he doesn't, because then this mystery will linger forever. And he is first up here in the cryptid news section. He's not going to be forgotten, that's for sure. Not by just by me, but the city of Westbrook. Now, he's not been officially seen since June, late June. Although there have been some sightings, but you don't know. You don't know. You don't know if it's truthful or people saw something else. Heck, the cops might have not even seen what they thought they saw. It was 3 a.m. And according to his Twitter feed, Wessie has packed up and headed to Boca for the winter. Now, the city of Westbrook, Maine, has decided not to wait for further sightings, but they're pushing forward officially to celebrate their time in the national spotlight with Wessie Fest. Wessie Fest. That's going to take place on October 22nd of this year. I got to put that in my calendar for the paranormal events. I don't know if anybody's speaking there. I'm sure Lauren O'Coman will be there. He lives like 10 minutes away. You're going to have a live snake, face painting, Wessie-themed jewelry, and T-shirts. Oh, man, I want a Wessie T-shirt really bad. I'm like a hoarder of T-shirts. I have so many T-shirts. I could probably clothe everybody in my city. Anyway, live music, food trucks, a scavenger hunt, trivia, and much, much more are being planned to help support local businesses as well as the city during the event. I think they've gotten a pretty good boost already from the national spotlight. Lots of the local brewery with its Wessie beer. I don't know how that tastes. It's another thing I'd like to try. And they're all selling T-shirts. I think even Subway was selling T-shirts. I don't, man, that's crazy. Let me throw that link in there in case you're interested in reading about the Wessie Fest. I'll throw that at the link in the chat room, and I'll be putting that out into social media. I'm kind of thinking about changing things up a little bit here on the show, different things, keep it fresh, keep it new, keep it interesting, get new people to listen to the show. And I think one of the things I want to do is, instead of rehashing the news to you guys all throughout the week, I might try to keep things current. As things happen, I'll give you some of the links. I won't give you all the information, because then what's the point of doing the show? But then, because I hate giving you guys stuff that's a week old already and old links. And I don't know. So I'm thinking about just kind of after the show, just throwing a bunch of links out there over the course of the next 2 or 3 days and then just kind of intermingling new stuff. I don't know. I'll figure it out. And what else do we have? We have Bigfoot. Bigfoot. When is Bigfoot not in the news? I don't know. I think it's pretty much in the news everywhere. Everywhere. All the time. Well, this one I wasn't sure. It's kind of on the cusp of even talking about, because I'm not sure about the validity, but I don't know how this is going to turn out. But a Michigan live eagle camera has caught what might be Bigfoot lurking in the background of the video. Ooh. The old unintentional, intentional filming. Now, the camera is set up in a tree looking down at the eagle's nest at the Platte River State Fish Hatchery near Beulah in northern Michigan. Now, as the eagles lay in the nest, you can see a dark image moving about in the upper right corner of the video. Now, the video shows an enhanced view of the biped in the middle of the video. So it kind of zooms in and just takes over the, where the little poor little eaglets are just chilling out, making little squeaky noises. So you kind of lose sight of them for a second, but you can tell it's live. Some people have made comments in that story that it was fake, that it was like enhanced, like they just put the little nest over top of everything. So they covered it up by this little box. No, you could tell. You could tell the wind was moving the tree, and the camera was moving with the tree and the nest. Everything was kind of in pretty good rhythm, I think. It just was kind of weird to see this creature. But, I mean, you don't know. It could be real. I don't know. I'm not saying it's not, but I'm not saying it is. What is it? Well, as usual, whenever a video like this comes out, especially, you know, I'm on the middle of the fence. I know everyone else is on the middle of the fence. They don't know which way to go with this. And even with that zooming in to show more detail, you're still not sure what you're seeing. It's still kind of, well, it's blurry. Of course, it's Bigfoot. It's going to be blurry, right? So on one side of the fence, as usual with these videos, you have people, there's usually two sides. Okay, one side is that it's a person, it's a hoax, or something else that is more logical than Bigfoot, despite any kind of validation to point out their particular individual perspective. And the second side is that it's definitely a Bigfoot, no matter what, due to the many things interpreted in the video, which, again, they're jumping to their own personal logical conclusions, subjective conclusions, despite any sort of validation whatsoever. So you have two sides. It's hardly anybody really in the middle of all of that. Yes, these videos that barely show something in the background that cannot be verified will be ruled by opinion with a lack of supporting evidence. And hopefully something more can come about this. Now, more than likely not going to have tracks. I don't know. I forgot to look up to see when that actually was recorded. I believe it was September 15th is when the story was posted. So it had to be on or before that date. That's quite a bit of time in northern Michigan. The weather is changes pretty quickly. And with wind, rain, all those sorts of things, any kind of prints would more than likely be gone. But not sure if anybody really followed up on that, or it's just, hey, here's a video. This is my personal proof, even though it doesn't really support anything. Again, it's just a video. And that's why I was kind of on the cusp of really even talking about it, because it really does not provide anything one way or the other. It is an interesting video, and I do recommend checking it out, and I will put that in the chat room now and get it up there within a couple of days through social media, which includes Facebook. Facebook is tied into my Twitter account, and this is all Paranews Insider. So you can look up Paranews Insider on Facebook or Twitter. And also on Google Plus as well. And I also have a Pinterest thing that if you follow me on Pinterest, you're going to get these stories sometimes a little quicker because I just have a habit of clicking on everything as I'm reading it. So that stuff is going to start piling up pretty soon too. So keep that in mind. Yeah. Well, we're going to talk cougars. Yeah, cougars. A cougar or mountain lion, also known as panther, catamount, puma, panther, all those things. They're all the same thing. There's literally dozens of names for these cats, these large cats, the largest cats in the Americas. Now, a puma, cougar, whatever you want to call it, was caught on a trail camera back on September 4th and subsequently confirmed by officials in Wayne County in Tennessee. That's a big deal. But why is it a big deal? And why am I talking about this in the cryptozoology section of tonight's show? Well, cougars are only supposed to exist west of the Mississippi River, except for southern Florida. Occasionally, a cougar sighting may happen in regions that it's not supposed to be. Here in the east, which I'm in Ohio, and we frequently have sightings of mountain lions every now and again. And just like here in Ohio, many other state agencies will either deny it, say that's not true, or claim misinterpretation that it's just a house cat, which we talked about a story last week, I believe, about a misinterpretation here in Ohio about a cat, which was pretty obvious, I thought. Or they usually blame it on a lone wandering animal from the West and say that that one cat is responsible for dozens of sightings. Now, they do wander. They do. Male cougars will wander. They can wander up to about 600 miles. I think that's the record for a wandering male. Young male cougars usually, when they kind of, I guess you'd say, leave the nest, more or less, they don't come back. Females will kind of wander away, then come back a few times before venturing out on their own about a year or so after they're born. And the males, sometimes they go in what they call a straight line travel, which obviously is a straight line. They don't just kind of wander around in circles. And when that happens, they're scouting for new territories. And that's kind of what's happening right now. Here in the east, these mountain lions are slowly making their way eastward. And yes, they're going to come out to Tennessee, to Ohio, and they're probably going to get hit by a car or they're going to get shot. And that's the end of that. But over time, they're going to slowly move their way eastward. And not to get ahead of myself here, because that's kind of ties in with the next story, the next segment I'm going to talk about here. Now, the Tennessee Wildlife Resources Agency, TWRA, has confirmed 8 sightings in the state since September of last year. That's pretty impressive, because I know here in Ohio, they don't officially claim anything. They just say, well, it's a wandering cat. That's it. And that wandering cat usually is killed or just disappears, or the story is never followed up on. But the agency also has a cougar action team, which I think was really cool when I read that, which is led by Joy Sweeney. Now, Sweeney states that despite there being 8 sightings in the since last year, there is a good chance that, again, it's the same cat and that it is a wandering cat. As one sighting was fur that was collected, and the fur was tested for DNA and confirmed to have been a cat from South Dakota. I guess it's on his driver's license or something. I don't know. But I guess they have a DNA kind of little database, I guess. I don't know. And despite these sightings, they're more than likely not a breeding population of cats in the state. Tennessee. Obviously, I agree with that. I don't think that there's a breeding population. It would take several cats, and there would be more than just some September. You know, there would be some cubs involved, and would be more frequent sightings, even though they're pretty secretive and seclusive. Now, there have also been recently reports and confirmed sightings in Arkansas and Missouri, neighboring states. But keep in mind that those two states are west of the Mississippi River. And of those sightings, there has yet to be anything other than a wandering male. And again, no breeding population has been established yet in either one of those states of Arkansas or Missouri. So far, the sightings have occurred in western counties of Tennessee, with the latest being the furthest south so far, which is kind of cool. When I looked at the county maps and the dates, the sightings went from west a little bit north and then now south. So maybe this is a wandering, lone wandering cougar, which that's fine. If it's just a male, who knows? Maybe there's another female and, you know, they can make little baby cougars. That would be great, because I'm looking forward to the day that they're established somewhere here in the east. I'm really looking forward to that. And again, why is that cryptid? Why is that a cryptozoology story? Well, again, they're not supposed to exist here. Cryptozoology isn't just magical animals like Mothman and Bigfoot. It also includes real animals that are in areas where they're not supposed to be. And cougars were eliminated here on the East Coast. They were unfortunately hunted into pretty much extinction. Now, in 2011, the federal government said that the eastern cougar is officially extinct. But now there's some kind of weird stuff that they're talking about, and they've decided to lump all the cougars basically into one little thing. Don't know why they're doing that. even though the Florida one's a little bit different in their attitude and some of the DNA structures and things like that. But it's quite the story. And if you want to know more about that, it ties in with the book of the week this week. How do you like that? A book I've been reading off and on for quite a while. And I got this book back when back in April of this year when I went on vacation, my cruise prior to the last one I just went on. And we drove down to Florida and stopped at a little area, a little rest area in West Virginia, a little gift shop kind of thing. And looking around and, oh, look at that, books. It's like magnets. And I had like an armful of books, and this was one of the books I got. West Virginia Mountain Lions is the name of the book, and had a lot of other books in my hand as well. I think a couple of them have already been the book of the week in past episodes, and there's a couple more coming. I think I have a couple more. Threw the link in the chat room there, and again, that's something that if you're not in the chat room, you're missing out on extra information that I'm giving you, such as the book of the week. I'll give you a little link, usually Amazon, unless there's something out there that is a little bit better of a price, or you can get a deal from the author on some of these books sometimes. So I do what I can to try to give you this information and give you these books at it kind of a good price, but also something you can trust and you can buy. Let's see, how much was this book? $15.95. That's exactly what I paid. I paid at again at a gift shop, little store. So West Virginia Mountain Lions is the book of the week this week. It's written by Skip Johnson. Now, Skip Johnson is a longtime writer in the Charleston Gazette, and unfortunately, in 2010, he passed away at age 80. And this book was already pretty much done, I guess, and it was this was published. I believe, I want to say, I forget now. Let me look real quick here. 2014, by Skip Johnson. So the book was already done and published after his passing, unfortunately. He was very, very obsessed with mountain lions. And in his lifetime, growing up in the 1930s, around the Great Depression, he heard many, many stories of mountain lions. And a lot of those stories are shared here in this book. And this book is again, it's West Virginia Mountain Lions. So this is about the state of West Virginia primarily. But there's a lot of mentions of other states. There's also discussion here about the Florida Panther and a lot of discussion about Western cougars, about attacks in California, attacks elsewhere, which I've talked about in another book, which is actually a resource listed in this book as well. And just a lot of information about cougars in general, which is another reason I was really, really happy to get my hands on this book because I love these cats. I've always kind of liked cats. I had a couple of cats growing up. They were nice. But I love dogs, I guess. But mountain lions, there's just something magical about these cats. If you've ever seen one in a zoo or had the fortunate ability to see one in the wild, which is one of my goals. I don't care if I'm in a wheelchair, I'm going to wheel myself around California, Northern California, whatever, dragging a deer carcass behind the wheelchair, whatever I have to do to see one of these before I go. It's on my bucket list, I guess you'd say. I want to see one in the wild. And I've been very fortunate, even just this year and last year, the year before, to see a lot of new and interesting animals in the wild. And this is one thing that I want to see in the wild. Mountain lion, got to see one. But there's a bunch of chapters in this book, 24 chapters. It's 200 pages, and again, it talks about a lot of different things about mountain lions, not just in West Virginia, but again, all over the United States. And it talks about the differences in regional attitudes and things. And it also talks about a few things that were brought up that I had no idea about. So really good book, very good if you're into mountain lions, if you're into cryptozoology. This is something that you should really get to know, get to understand. There's a lot of behavior stuff here in this book about mountain lions. This guy, Skip Johnson, had done a lot of research about mountain lions. And it really shows his knowledge and his research really shows in this book. And I might have to get some other books of his as well. So I just want to remind you that you're listening to WCJV Digital Broadcasting from Youngstown, New York. And it's emanating live at WCJVradio.com. And you're listening to the Paranormal News Insider with your host, Dr. Brian D. Parsons. And yes, we're talking cougars. Yeah. Well, we were talking cougars. So again, the book of the week, West Virginia Mountain Lions. Past, Present, and Future of the Long-Tailed Cat. It's a really good book. I finished it last night. I stayed up a little late, but that's what I do. And very good book. I can't say enough about the amount of detail and research. Most of this, a good chunk of it in the middle is stories, and it kind of jumps around a little bit. But for the most part, there was some really interesting stuff that I had to put little marks in the book. So I know little bookmarks so I can look back at some of this research and information that's provided in the book. Well, with that, we're going to jump into the big news of the week. And that's ghost news. And if you haven't heard about this, you've probably been living under a rock or you don't have social media, not to make fun of people. Maybe you haven't heard. If you've heard of Ryan Buell or Paranormal State, you probably know kind of what's going on right now. It's kind of in the middle of things right now. And the big news, I guess this week, kind of last week, I guess, came out after last week's show on Wednesday. I think the news broke and rapidly spread throughout social media that Ryan Buell of the television show Paranormal State fame was arrested on two felony counts and was being held in jail in South Carolina and was awaiting extradition to Pennsylvania, where the charges were filed. And everybody was speculating as what the charges were. A lot of speculation, as usually happens when anybody famous gets arrested. But as of yesterday, Monday, September 26th, Buell arrived at the Center County Correctional Facility in Bellefonte in central Pennsylvania, where he's gonna be sitting there for a while. Now, Paranormal State ran on the A&E channel. And if you've never heard of Paranormal State, it's essentially a ghost group television show, reality show, and you don't see it, but I'm doing like air quotes reality show, because it's television, it's scripted. I don't care how real people think it is. It may be a real group, it's real people, real situations, real buildings. But there's a little bit of scripting going on, and if you don't believe that, well, I don't know how to convince you, but it's true. It's just true. Trust me. Now, Paranormal State, again, ran on the A&E channel for 5 seasons from 2007 to 2011. Seemed like a lot longer than that. And it totaled 83 episodes while following the Paranormal Research Society led by Buell. Now, the drama on the show was probably higher in social media and paranormal radio, more so than the show itself, due to some of the speculation about fabrication on the show. Well, duh, it's a television show. It's television shows are produced to sell commercial slots, sell cars, things like that, and is controlled by production teams, not a producer, by a bunch of guys in California or wherever sitting around a table saying, how do we sell more cars? What can we do? And the creative control, unfortunately, is out of the hands of the people that are on the fun side of the camera, not behind the camera. So following the collapse of the show, Ryan announced he had pancreatic cancer in July of 2012. He was also in the center of controversy following many canceled live appearances where money was never returned to dates that were canceled that covered the United States and Canada. Now, Buell blamed PayPal for the refund issues, although PayPal is a broker and even publicly stated that they were not at fault. The following year, Ryan did the same thing, and people fell for it. I've talked about it here on the Paranormal News Insider. Dates were created and events were sold, but all the shows were once again canceled. And it started to happen. Many longtime fans started to get upset. There was a little bit of a division there. People were getting kind of mad. But Buell once again blamed his health issues, including his cancer, for his issues, which was understandable, and a lot of people felt sympathetic toward him. Now, lately, he's been selling PRS mugs for $50 on his Facebook page, and for just $50 more, for a grand total of $100, he'll give you a thank you phone call. Well, he'll say he'll give you a thank you phone call, but from what I've heard, those phone calls were never happening. Now, with this latest reveal of his arrest, social media was flooded with support for Ryan, as well as disdain for paranormal television shows. Of course, why not focus on the issue or focus on what's going on? Let's just attack television shows, which I'm not defending television shows. I just don't think that this is the right time to air out our grievances for shows that we don't watch or we don't like. This is about a person here. And there's not really much sympathy going on in between. A little bit, I guess, but not a whole lot. The people that support him are sympathetic, obviously, but the people that are bashing the show are just basically saying, well, he got what he deserved because the television show was cruddy. Well, it's not his fault. It's not his fault. That was 2011. That was a long time ago. I don't think we can blame the TV show at this point. Now, Ryan's mother has also publicly commented on the matter, stating that Ryan's claim of having cancer was not true. She says he does not have cancer, did not have cancer, not in remission like he claims, and that the star was suffering from drug addiction, which would explain the money issues and purported health problems. Uh-oh, that's not going to help his publicity campaign. Now, she publicly asked through the Facebook post that people stopped enabling her son by not buying tickets to these events that will never happen and to stop financially supporting his efforts, as this is the best thing for him at this time, which is true. It's absolutely true. Any kind of addict, you want to stop providing them with the means to continue what they're doing. You wouldn't buy a drunk a round of drinks. That's not the right thing to do to help them. You might help them for cope with whatever they're trying to hide, but that's not going to help them in the long term. And she's absolutely right. But it now seems that Buell will have to answer for his crimes and might be forced to get the help he needs to clean up from his addictions. If that's really true, we don't know. Again, this is just speculation. Maybe his mom's mad. Maybe she didn't get a cut of the TV show. I don't know. No one really knows at this point. The story is still kind of new, even though we now know a little bit more of what's going on. But, there are many ways that the story could have turned prior to this. But maybe this is just what he needs to get clean once and for all. And if he does get clean, if there is a drug addiction that's the basis for all of these things that are happening with his stealing the money and all these other things, that should clear up these other problems. And, he'll probably walk away from the paranormal, which is probably the best thing he could do. I'm sure a lot of other people that hate the show would agree with that. But maybe he just needs to kind of unplug from the publicity thing for a little while. And we have to remember that this is not about a television show, but about a human being who is suffering. And he made a lot of bad decisions. I mean, how many of us have never made a bad decision in our life? But lies and theft to support his habit, and he's now going to face the consequences. Now, that being said, details have come out to suggest that his arrest is only about a rental car that he rented from State College, Pennsylvania back in August, but supposedly never returned it. So if that's it, he's not really going to face any kind of backlash for taking all that money from these events over the last, I don't know how many years now. There's got to be some fans that are a little irritated by that. Maybe they wanted to get paid back, which that would be nice, but don't hold your breath. And upon his arrest, his Facebook page displayed the following post, quote, "To fans, please be wary of the articles being currently by news media. The truth will come out upon Mr. Buell's release. His team is currently getting to the bottom of the story and can assure you that this situation has its foundation in misunderstanding and that the current currently running articles have very little knowledge of the actual situation. Please sit tight and understand that the truth is not in line with these claims. All future events are still scheduled, and Mr. Buell is doing well. Unquote. However, this Facebook post has since been removed from his Facebook page. The plot thickens, and certainly more information will unfold on his next court date, which is October 5th. Now, he just appeared yesterday just for sentencing and to establish his bond, which is set at $35,000. Now, that's a lot of mugs and personal phone calls he's going to have to sell over the next week to get out. And that's all I have to say about that. I don't want to speculate. But more information will come out at his next court date, October 5th, a lot more details. And I'm sure this story is not going to go away. It's probably going to end up being one of the bigger stories of the year. And we're going to definitely hear more about this as time goes on. If you're interested, I guess you are. I mean, he's a pretty big deal, I guess. I didn't really watch the show. I maybe caught like one or two episodes of those 83. Wasn't really interested that much, to be blatantly honest with you. Not my cup of tea. I do things my way. I'm out in the field. I do things. I don't know. And another thing I want to throw out here, I'm going to throw in the chat room. Steve Coles wrote a nice little piece about this as well, right after everything came out. So I'll throw that in the chat room, and you guys can swarm on that like sharks, I guess. That's kind of weird. Anyway, other news. Yes, there's some these next two stories are kind of interesting stuff that's going on. You got to clear the air, got to tell the truth, got to bring it full circle. So here's something. Way back in 2011, the Minneapolis Star Tribune published an article back in 2011 in which Minneapolis astronomer, he's an astronomy instructor, Park Kunkel, suggested that the zodiac signs have changed due to the wobble of the Earth, and that the current placement of the stars in the sky suggests that zodiac signs be shifted by a couple of weeks. Uh-oh. Also included in that article was the implementation of the tossed-out 13th sign of Ophiuchus. Ophiuchus. That's how you pronounce that. Ophiuchus. I know there's a lot of people that are hacking the heck out of that. Ophiuchus. That's how that's pronounced. Anyway, panic ensued. People questioned their tattoos as well as their horoscope readings. People thought about throwing away their astrology books, updating their decks of cards, and it created a media request frenzy for Kunkel with well over 100 interviews. And despite the panic and the fact that this was one of the biggest stories of January of 2011, even one of the top – I'm trying to think here. I think that was one of the top stories of 2011 – on my top 10 paranormal news countdown. It was such a huge story, and it lingered all year long. People were kind of confused by it, which I didn't think it was that confusing. But people were really confused back in 2011. They were slow to realize that, in fact, there was actually two zodiac things that are in use. Two, not just one, which Kunkel pointed out at the end of his article that apparently nobody spent the time to read. Now, our use of what's called the tropical zodiac means we use the seasons, not the placement of the stars as a guide. And that's why there's 12, not 13. And you would think that people would remember. I mean, maybe it's because this is what I do. I'm used to doing the research on these stories. I've got a ton of documentation going back to 2008, I guess, when I started the show. So I have a lot of information gathered throughout the years on stories like this. And when the story broke again, I was like, wait a minute, this just happened. And I had to go look back through my notes, and I found this. It was like, wow, people fell for the same thing again. But I guess we do that with politics and a lot of other things as well. Back in January of this year, so 5 years later, NASA – yes, NASA, Space NASA, wrote a brief history of the zodiac sign on its Space Place webpage. Now, the Space Place webpage is for children. It's for kids. It's for kids. And it went largely unnoticed. This little article for kids. Let me emphasize that. It's for kids. Space Place, written by NASA, was for children. Now, on September 15th, Cosmopolitan UK, Cosmopolitan, okay, wrote a piece titled, quote, "Don't freak out, but your star sign has probably changed," unquote. Now, what do you think happened? That's right. People freaked out again about an article written for children. The Today Show reported that NASA had discovered a 13th zodiac sign. I couldn't believe it. I watched that. It was just like, oh my gosh, this is why I don't watch TV shows like this. But this was not true, since it had been well known and actually identified by the Greeks a couple thousand years ago. It's not news. It's not new. NASA didn't invent it. It should be also noted that there may be as many as 21 signs. But again, like I mentioned, 12 have been adopted for the tropical zodiac. Yahoo News reported that NASA had forced the update of the zodiac signs. Really, not Yahoo? That's insane. You just knocked you down another notch. Now, NASA's response, this is classic. This is great. Quote, "Here at NASA, we study astronomy, not astrology. We didn't change any zodiac signs. We just did the math." End quote. Drop the mic. There you have it. Now, astronomer and science writer Phil Plait said, quote, "Distant constellations or even planets in our solar system do not emit any known forces that could have a dramatic and personal effect on our lives. If gravity ruled astrology, the moon would be far overpower any other heavenly body. Likewise, if electromagnetic forces were the culprit, everything but the awesome power of the sun could be discounted. Nothing else in the heavens really comes close," unquote. And, you know, without getting into the details of astrology, when you think about it that way, the sciencey part of it, it kind of makes astrology seem kind of silly. And unfortunately, astrology gets attacked quite a bit by skeptics for a lot of reasons. It's one of the top pseudoscientific fields out there. But to see how people get all upset, even that watching the Today Show, you should have seen how they're like, my sign changed? No, it didn't. No. I'm going to stay as Sagittarius or whatever it was. It was hilarious because this is how people reacted in 2011. They got very defensive and, you know, their identity had changed without their control. And I think that's what people got upset about. So it's interesting, but don't worry. You can keep your sign, whatever your sign is. And if you want to see, I'm going to put that NASA piece there in the chat room. It's actually really good. It's for children, like I mentioned. It's a good little article on it. And I like it. Again, it shows how the stars have changed and it does give a good little breakdown of it. But it's funny how that piece went unnoticed, but then Cosmopolitan wrote something and everybody lost their gourd. Funny. Anyway, not a big fan of astrology. I mean, I look at my horoscope every now and again. I'm a Virgo. And some people will say, wow, that fits you to a T. Or, you know, you read your horoscope and you make correlations about what you read to what goes on. But you can pretty much pick up any horoscope and do the same thing. It's hit and miss. And it's just kind of entertainment. It's like playing the lottery or gambling. It's the same thing. It really has no meaning. Well, I guess gambling you could financially benefit, but this you really have no way to benefit that. So anyway, we're going to talk about the Staten Island ferry disaster. Yes, you may never have heard of this. It's crazy. It's insane. If you've never heard of this, there's probably a reason why you've never heard of this. Throw a link in the chat room here to the official website. And wow, it's just a sad situation here. From the memorial page of the official website, which again, I've posted in the chat room there. So again, if you're missing out on the live show, you're not in the chat room, you're missing out on these links that you're not going to get other than following me on social media. So the official website of the Staten Island Ferry Disaster Memorial Museum says, quote, "It was close to 4 a.m. on the quiet morning of November 22nd, 1963, when the steam ferry Cornelius G. Kolff vanished without a trace. On its way with nearly 400 people, mostly on their way to work, the disappearance of the Cornelius G. Kolff remains both one of New York's most horrific maritime tragedies and perhaps its most intriguing mystery. Eyewitnesses' accounts describe large tentacles which pulled the ferry beneath the surface only a short distance from its destination at Whitehall Terminal in Lower Manhattan. Nobody on board survived, and only small pieces of wreckage have been found, strangely with large suction cup-shaped marks on them. The only logical conclusion scientists and officials could point to was that the boat had been attacked by a massive octopus, roughly half the size of the ship. Adding to the tragedy is that this disaster went almost completely unnoticed by the public, as later that day, another more newsworthy tragedy would befall the nation when beloved President John Fitzgerald Kennedy was assassinated. The Staten Island Ferry Disaster Museum hopes to correct this oversight by preserving the memory of those lost in this tragedy and educating the public about the truth behind the only known giant octopus ferry attack in the tri-state area," unquote. Now, the museum is located at Snook Harbor in Staten Island, New York, and charges $10 for adults, $5 for seniors 65 and older, and children and U.S. college students are able to enter free of charge. You can find directions on their Facebook page or find pamphlets in Battery Park, where a memorial is actually placed. It's a nice little statue. It's on Facebook, too. They have a Facebook page. It seems legit, right? But it's not. I had a hard time reading that because I'm fighting off laughing here as I'm reading this. This story is bogus. It's completely not true. It's not true at all. And it was completely made up on purpose. And what's funny is they changed the Wikipedia page for Staten Island Ferry for a very brief time. That people are very good at watching Wikipedia. People doubt it. People don't trust it. But trust me, when misinformation hits Wikipedia, it's changed awfully quickly. People monitor all sorts of pages, even though it's, you know, publicly done or whatever. But people will watch any changes and make sure that the correct information is put on there. But I went in and pulled up the change that included the date of the Staten Island ferry disaster in 1963 and screen capped that and put it on the Facebook page for the Paranormal News Insider under the story where I talked about this particular thing I was going to talk about. Now, what's the deal? Why is it a hoax? Why is it fake? Why would somebody do this? I think it's funny. I know it's probably mean. I mean, to talk about people that died. Well, nobody died. The memorial, pamphlets, website, and the story are all part of an elaborate hoax created by artist Joe Reganella. In an interview with the New York Post, Reganella said, quote, "It's part practical joke, part multimedia art project, part social experiment," unquote. The joke took 6 months to plan, and the pamphlets that are being passed out around New York promise an octopus petting zoo, historical exhibits, and a ferry disaster. You get it? A ferry disaster store. It's a disaster, ferry disaster plus store. A store. You get it? Ferry disaster store. Anyway, okay, I'll leave that alone. It's a little shop along with directions to a fictional museum. There's no storefront. Now, many people have been fooled, but it seems that many had their suspicions, and many people who attempted to find the fictional museum just wanted to confirm their thoughts that this was in fact not real. Reganella is also the creator of the controversial Jaws-themed baby bed, which I totally remember that, and I have a link for that too if you're interested. I think it's quite funny. I don't really know what the end game is with this. I mean, they went pretty far as far as the hoax. It is funny, though. I mean, but, you know, people believe things like this, so you kind of have to be careful. And I don't think they crossed the line to fool people completely, although there is no real anything out there that says, hey, this is in fact a hoax. Don't worry, this actually didn't happen, unless they read the story, which I think it should be in the New York Post, which people don't really read that. They just read headlines. But we'll, you know, hopefully they'll listen to the show then. I don't know. But that's your news for this week. And one last thing I wanted to cover before I run out of time is the events page at ParanewsInsider.com. Now, the calendar here is this list of events has got more slashes than it does actual events left over. So we're running out of time. The year is ending. Next weekend, we have the Granbury Paranormal Expo in Granbury, Texas. Nice little town. My best friend was born there, and I lost a football in the Brazos River. Long story about that one. We don't have time for that. The 2016 Utah Paranormal Festival will also take place this weekend, Salt Lake City, Utah. And UFO events, well, nothing until the end of October on my calendar. I mean, I don't have everything here, but I've done a pretty good job of putting stuff on here. And one thing that I forgot to talk about last week, so I have another week to talk about it, though. It's not till October 8th, is the Alabat Witch Festival that takes place in Columbia, Pennsylvania. Now, I won't be there. I'll be there in spirit. It's always a nice little thing out there. They've been doing that for years. I don't know how many years, but it's a nice little get-together about Aldi, the Alabat Witch, the little apple-eating Bigfoot kind of guy. It's a lot of fun, and it's here on the East Coast. A lot of great people will be there. And if you're interested in paranormal conferences, conventions, and those types of things, please check out ParanewsInsider.com and click on the events tab at the top. It's like the second little button over from the right. It's not a lot of work. And if you have any information about any event and would like to hear it here as well as see it on the website, you can find me on social media. You can click on the about/contact page on the website at ParanewsInsider.com. And the easiest way to find that is to follow my legs. Follow my legs. Where my legs disappear in the top header there, that's where the link is for that. That's creepy, I know, but still, that's the easiest way to tell you how to find that. And a little form there you fill out. You can send me an email, and I'll get it, and I'll update the conferences and conventions list. Again, I think it's not all-inclusive. There's things that I'm missing. I'm not perfect. Yes, I just admitted that on live radio. I'm not perfect, but it is probably one of the best lists you're going to find out there of complete and ever-changing, ever-adding lists of events out there. And a lot of people have emailed me just to thank me for creating this list, creating this stuff so they can go to events local to them. And a lot of people ask me advice on different aspects from how do I go from I wrote a book or I do this and how do I get into these events to what event would be good for me or good for what I'm into or whatever. And it's great that people are really interested in these. And a lot of people don't like paranormal events for whatever reason. I don't know. People have their reasons. They think it's all about egos and people doing things. Now, yes, sometimes these events, it's nothing more than paranormal groups just showing off pictures of orbs and things like that. Yes, I've seen a few of those, but the people mean well, and you're going to learn a lot from talking with these people. They may have stuff you don't agree with, but they're going to have knowledge. You're going to have information, and you're going to be able to really get to network with people. And that's really the best thing about these things is not just learning, but networking with people. And I guarantee you, if you go to one of these events, you're going to learn something, no matter how long you've been in the field. And for me, I've been in the paranormal field, all three anomalous fields, for around 20 years. And I'll tell you, every time I go to any of these events, there's something that I walk away with. And I take notes when people talk. So these things are worth it. So again, check it out, ParanewsInsider.com. Click on the events tab at the top. Find one close to you. And again, if you have any information, let me know and I'll put it on here. Yeah, and I'll talk about them too. I think they're fantastic. And That's bad. Wow. An hour has gone by. Well, also have some real quick news, if I can find it real fast. You might not have heard about this, but I speak the truth, and I want everyone to know that Frank Lee from Paranormalities and Ponderings, the radio show here on WCJV, he's in a bit of trouble. One of the reasons why he's been absent, he's been abducted by aliens. But don't worry, myself and a crack team, we've located the ship, and we're making arrangements to get Frank back in one piece very soon, back on his show, so you can enjoy his awesome show, his awesome content. And we're working on getting him freed up as we speak. Well, maybe not as we speak, but when I get off of here, I'm going to run out there and see what I can do. So big thanks to Cindy, my producer, and to Dita for hurting everybody there in the chat room. Hopefully she didn't hurt anyone tonight or threw anything or beat anybody with baseball bats. Everybody out there listening, whether it's a podcast, whether it's recorded, or you're listening live, I really appreciate it. Thank you. I know you're listening because I look at stats. Keep your eyes in the skies, your ears in the woods, the hair standing on the back of your neck, and always keep your mind slightly ajar, if anything else. Come on. And above all else, don't stop believing. For the Paranormal News Insider, this is Dr. Brian D. Parsons reporting.
Listening to WCJV Digital Broadcasting, Youngstown, New York.